Welcome to Torah Today Ministries and our continuing series, The Hebrew Key. And in this series, we take a look at things that reveal themselves only through the Hebrew Scriptures. And if you've listened to any of these in the past, you know how excited I get about the insights that emerge from the Scriptures, but only in the Hebrew. And in this episode, we want to look at this mysterious half shekel that is discussed in Exodus chapter 30. Now, before we get into the text, I want to share with you some monetary values that are used in the Hebrew Scriptures. And so let's review these for a moment. We have the shekel, which we hear of many times in the Scriptures, and we're told that a shekel is equal to 20 gerahs. 20 gerahs will be equal one shekel. So that would mean a half of a shekel would be 10 gerahs. But there was a 10 gerah coin called a bekah. So a bekah equaled 10 gerahs. 20 gerahs, or two bekahs, would equal one shekel. Okay? So with that in mind, and come back and review this if you get lost as we go through the text, but keep that in mind as we read the text. So our text begins in Exodus chapter 30 and verse 11. Now, this is the opening of Torah portion Ki Tisa. Ki Tisa means when you lift up. And God is commanding Moses, says, when you take the census of the people of Israel, except that is not what it says in the Hebrew. It says, Ki Tisa, when you lift up at Rosh B'nai Yisrael, the head of the sons of Israel. That is how they took a census. It's a matter of lifting up the head. You know, here in our country, when we take a census, we just count human beings. But when God takes a census, it's like he takes you by the chin, lifts your head, and wants to see you, look you in the eye, and tell you, I see you. So what it really means, what it really says, is when you lift up the heads of the sons of Israel, then each shall give an atonement for his soul. Now, atonement has become this religious word that it shouldn't be religious. And I do a series called Pardon My Jargon, and in that series, I have an episode about the word atonement. But when we see the word atonement in the Scriptures, we should just put in the word cover. Kippur just means to cover. A kippah is a hat that Jewish men wear. And Kippur simply means to cover. It is not a religious word. It's just part of the street vernacular. And so basically what God is telling Moses to do is this. God frowns on counting people. He just doesn't like it when we count people. And if you don't believe me, just read the story of how David decided to count the people of Israel, and God sent a plague, and many died. So what God does is he counts things that people give. So think of this atonement, this kippur, as like a cover charge. Some places when you go in, you have to pay a cover charge. And let's say that cover charge is a dollar. So at the end of the night, the people who own the event or are running the event, all they have to do is count how much money came in. And if they make $500, they know 500 people came. And so God is telling Moses, what I want the people to do, I want the men to each bring a certain coin, a certain amount of money, and we'll count those instead of counting the people. So they shall each give an atonement, a cover, for his soul to Adonai when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And then we're told the shekel is 20 gerahs, as I just mentioned at the opening. But he says, half a shekel as an offering to Adonai. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give Adonai's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. When you give Adonai's offering to make atonement, to make a covering for your souls, you shall take the atonement money, or the cover charge, from the people of Israel, and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting. So this silver in the shekel was for the upkeep of the tabernacle. And I mention this here because later on, this half shekel annual tax was imposed upon Jewish men, and it was used for the upkeep of the temple. And we'll encounter an example of this in the Gospels in just a moment. So you shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before Adonai, so as to make a covering for your souls. Now here is the mystery. Why three times in this passage is it the half shekel that's mentioned? Why not just say, bring 10 gerahs? Or why not bring a bekah? These are nice round numbers, 10 gerahs or one whole bekah. But it's this halfness that God insists on repeating. Half a shekel, half a shekel, half a shekel per person. And the rabbis have pondered this, as have I, and I invite you to ponder this with me. You know, we as human beings are a study in contrast. Some of us may be morons, but we are all oxymorons, because we are a study in opposites. For example, here I am a soul. And my essence, my spirit, is something that comes directly from God, from His Spirit, as God breathed into the pile of dust He had formed into Adam's body, and man became a living soul. So our essence, our spirits, come directly from God. Yet we have this body of flesh, which is basically just dirt and water. So this other part that's completely physical, we have a part that comes from outside this world and a part that is made of the stuff of this world, and here we are. And so we have things that pull us towards the physical and things that attract us towards the spiritual, but I'm in the middle and have to decide. In our Messiah, he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he's also called the Lamb of God. And we too need to learn how to operate in boldness like a lion at some times, and then to be meek as a lamb at others. Yeshua did this perfectly. I struggle with this. Sometimes I want to be bold when I should be meek. I want to be meek when God wants me to be bold. And learning how to navigate this. And learning how to navigate these opposites and these contrasts that are inherent in being human. This is the whole story of spiritual growth. This is the entire purpose of spiritual growth. And so there's a part of me that wants to be a one. I want to be one Becca. Or better yet, I want to be a 10. So have me bring 10 gerahs. But God says, no, half of a shekel. And this is the crux of the issue that I think God is trying to teach. On the one hand, I am to be a whole person, and I need to learn to stand on my own two feet. I need to learn to make decisions independent of what others may say. There are times I have to exercise the courage to be a man and to be independent. But on the other hand, I'm part of a body. I'm part of a group. I'm part of the body of Messiah, and I must be part of a community. And anyone who tries to live out the commandments of Torah in isolation, they're just destined for failure. It can't be done. The commandments of Torah can only be lived out in a community with a group of other people, whether it's a large or small group. It has to be done that way. And so I need to be independent, but I also need to be apart. And so I see here, as God tells Moses, I want each man to bring not a bekah or 10 gerahs, but half a shekel, half a shekel, half a shekel. Now, what's interesting is that if we take The word for soul that is used here, soul, is nefesh. And nefesh, nun pei shin, has a numerical value of 430, which happens to be the exact same numerical value of the word shekel, shen, kof, lamed, which also equals 430. So it only seems logical that a covering for a soul, which equals 430, should be a shekel, whose numerical value is 430. But God says, no, I want you to bring half of a shekel. Well, half of 430 is 215. And interestingly enough, if we look into the Torah, the first word in the Torah that has a numerical value of 215 is found in Genesis 3:24, and it's the word hacherev, the sword. And what is the purpose of the sword? To cut in half. So, though we are to be a whole soul, God says there's also a halfness to you that can only be completed by being in relationship with another halfness. And between the two, we become one. Of course, when I talk in this way, the first thing that comes to mind is that though I must be independent and I need to be my own man, I need to learn to stand on my own two feet, it is not good for a man, including this one, to be alone. So God has provided me my Besheret, my lovely bride, Robin. I don't know what I'd do without her. And by being in covenant relationship with her, being married to her, there is a wholeness I experience that I can never experience just on my own. And of course, though I'm to be a whole person and learn to stand on my own two feet, I must be part of a community. I'm just like one small part, one small member of the body of Messiah, one small part of the community I meet with on every Sabbath. And without them, I'm not complete. Without them, I cannot fulfill all the commandments. And of course, the other individual who truly makes me complete is Messiah himself. And without being joined to him and in covenant relationship with him, I can never be the man, and you can never be the man or the woman you should be without that. And that is illustrated in this wonderful story that we find in Matthew chapter 17. Now here, let's just dive right in and we'll discuss it as we go. Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Yeshua spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From who do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Yeshua said to him, "Then the sons are free." Now, this mysterious little dialogue between Yeshua and Simon Peter is interesting. It's kind of puzzling. And as you ponder it and camp out here for a while, you begin to realize that when the collectors of the half shekel tax asked Peter, "Does your master pay the tax?" and Peter said yes, we learn from Yeshua that Peter did give the right answer, but it wasn't for the reasons Peter thought. On the one hand, Peter thought, well, we fulfill the Torah and we submit to authority, and the tax collectors need this half shekel annual tax to help upkeep the temple. And so I'm sure my master pays it. And Yeshua says, yes, we pay it, but not for the reasons you think. We are sons of the king, and the temple is God's house. And therefore, as being his children, it is our house as well. Yet we still pay the half shekel tax, but not for the reasons you think, Peter. And I'll leave it there. You can think about it more on your own. I really want us to get to the next part of the story. So then he went on to say, however, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel, a whole shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. Half shekel for me, half shekel for you. Now, this is an amazing story, probably about the oddest miracle we find in the Gospels, maybe in the entire Bible. Go cast a hook in the sea, pull up a fish, there'll be a shekel coin inside, and go pay it for me and for you. A whole shekel. Not half a shekel for me and a half shekel for you, but a whole shekel for me and you. This tells me that my spiritual completion, my half shekel, is matched by Yeshua's. And they are no longer a half shekel, but it's one whole shekel. He didn't find two half shekel coins in the fish's mouth. He found one whole shekel in the fish's mouth, because the two halves are united as I and Messiah must be united, as you and Messiah must be united. We must be one whole. But there's something spectacular that happens in the Hebrew. When we go back to Exodus 30:11, remember it said, and Adonai said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give an atonement for his soul. Now the word his soul in Hebrew is one word, it's nafsho. Nefesh is soul, but when you add the vav on the end, it becomes a third person singular masculine possessive. Nafsho, his soul. So his soul is nafsho. And if we take these four letters in order, look at the picture they paint. The first letter, nun, it means fish. The next letter, pei, means mouth. The third letter, shin, is the first letter of the word shekel, as you can see there. So the fish is caught, the mouth is open, inside is a shekel, and the last letter, vav, means hook. So I want you to think about something for a moment. Way back in Exodus, about how many thousands of years? A couple, 3,000 years before Yeshua was born, God gave the scriptures about a half shekel for nafsho, for his soul. And built into that word, he placed there in Exodus, with every jot and tittle involved, he foresaw the day that Messiah would come and tell Simon Peter, go cast a hook into the sea, pull up a fish in his mouth, you'll find a shekel for me and for you. Or maybe it was that Yeshua simply knew the scripture so well that when he contemplated this half shekel tax, he contemplated the word nafsho and thought, well, there's a fish and a mouth and a shin for shekel and a hook. So maybe this is how we get the shekel. I don't know. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Which came first, the fish or the shekel? But all I know is our God is so amazing. He is so incredible. And just as these two scriptures at each end of the Bible, Exodus and then over in Matthew, are intimately integrated, I know that somehow you and Messiah, that I and Messiah can be intimately integrated into a whole. The husband and wife should be intimately integrated into a whole unit. And you and your community that you meet with needs to be intimately integrated into a whole. And when all of this comes together, every husband, every wife, every godly community, and our relationship with the Messiah, we become the body of Messiah with him as the head and we as the body, and we become one. No, his ways are so amazing and so past finding out. His ways are so wonderful. So anyways, I'm just going to leave it there for you to contemplate and review and go over. And again, just to, in this Hebrew Key episode, to open your eyes to something amazing that reveals itself only in the Hebrew Scriptures. So until next time, I wish you shalom and may God bless.
Thank you for joining us for today's teaching. If the work of Torah Today Ministries has touched your life, please consider making a donation or sponsoring an upcoming video. As a video sponsor, you'll have an exclusive opportunity to memorialize a family member, celebrate a special event, or simply support the ongoing creation of similar content. Your tax-deductible contribution helps ensure that our teachings continue to reach all who are longing for truth. Click the link or visit our website to learn more.
That's a good food for thought.